Today I would like to introduce you to a very special person. This is Father Scott Seetaler. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It's Friday, TGIF, thank God it's Friday. You know every Friday can be a good Friday if you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. How do you do that? You do it in two ways. You do it with your lips and you do it with your body. You do it with your life. You say, Jesus, I do accept you as my Lord and Savior. I don't do this blindly, Jesus. I have seen how you've worked in my life, but now I need to confirm that. I need to affirm that. I need to consolidate. I need to underscore that. I need to say that I believe that nothing can happen to me without which you and I together can handle. I'm going to cast my cares upon you. I'll be able to laugh at situations because I know the end of the story. I can recognize the face of God in another person because of your presence in my life. All those things I say Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and now I say on Friday, every Friday can be a good Friday, can be God's Friday. And you know what I've been doing this year on Friday? I've been sharing with you stories of grace, miracles, and power. And there is a very special lady that I'd like to talk about today because this lady is a remarkable example for people struggling with emotional illness. Okay? What's her name? Carol Houselander. She is perhaps the most popular spiritual writer of her day back in the early part of the 1900s through the 1950s. Had an unusually difficult childhood due both to lingering poor health and the strained relationship she had with her parents. But it was precisely this time of trial that paved the way for her career as a writer, artist, poet, mystique, an amateur healer of neurotics. Houselander used the unique insight she had gained not only to peer into the lives of others, but into the life of Christ, and even into her own soul. Today, many of her classic works, most notable, Wood of the Cradle, Wood of the Cross, formerly called The Passion of the Infant Jesus, are getting a new read. Composed with the mind of an artist and the sensitivity of one exposed not just to the struggle of an unhappy childhood, but also to the horrors of war, Houselander's books speak movingly to people of any age of the virtues of faith, hope, and charity. Frances Carol Houselander was born in England to Gertrude Provis and Wilmot Houselander on October 29, 1901. The second of two daughters was considerably unlike the outgoing, attractive, and athletic parents who bore her. She was not expected to survive for more than a day, and so was baptized in haste at the insistence of her uncle, a gynecologist who assisted with her birth. She was named after this uncle and the yacht, Carol, upon which her mother had spent the last several months of her pregnancy. She went on to survive her first day, and indeed many more after that, though her health continued to be poor throughout her life. When Houselander was 6 years old, a family friend persuaded Gertrude to have the children baptized Catholic, though the practice of the faith did not begin until some years later. It was from this late entrance into the church that Houselander fashioned the name of her autobiography, as she was more accurately a rocking horse Catholic than she was a cradle Catholic. No formal religious education followed her reception into the church. Though her mother did require a strict piety from the girls, forcing them to construct small altars and repeat endless prayers for the benefit of visiting clergy, amidst this forced digestion of beliefs, Carol developed an intense love for the Lord, which ultimately led her to seek, on her own, the earliest possible reception of her first communion. And so at the age of 7, which was very rare back then, on the Feast of the Precious Blood, she made her first confession and received her first communion. Houselander greatly desired to frequent the sacraments, But a sudden and serious, though mysterious, illness put her in bed for months. Though she begged to receive the Eucharist, it was not until she seemed to be approaching death that her mother brought in the priest to administer last rites to the child. Immediately upon receiving the Blessed Sacrament, she sat up and recovered, leading those present, her mother and the priest included, to question the legitimacy of her illness. For Hauslander, however, it was the beginning of a lifelong love for Christ and for his church. She was 9 years old when her world was shattered when her parents announced their intention to divorce. Though they were never formally divorced, the separation which began at this time was to be a permanent one. For the next several years, she changed schools and homes, never fully settling in one place before she was moved to the next. Her erratic health in various convent schools had led her doctors to advise that she avoid all classwork, and amazingly, the schools agreed. Thus, apart from the philosophical espousals of a family friend, whom the children lovingly referred to as Smokey, by the time Hauslander returned home in 1917, her formal education was virtually non-existent. However, she was a mystic, and the first of three visions came during her years in the convent schools while she was still a young girl. Though they varied greatly in the imagery, the substance remains the same. Over and over again, she was being called to see Christ in all people. This principle would permeate all of her work, her writing, her counseling, sculpting, and volunteering. Having survived London's Zeppelin raids in World War I, Hauslander returned again to school, receiving a full scholarship for art school. It was during this time period that she drifted from the Catholic Church for the only time in her life. She soon found that no other religion could take the place of that which she had grown to love. In yearning again for the Eucharist, she returned to the Catholic Church at the age of 24. Through her confessor, she quickly came into the friendship of Father Bliss, editor of the Messenger of the Sacred Heart and the Children's Messenger, who advised her to put away all other efforts and concentrate on her writing. Hauslander soon began to do articles and illustrations for his magazines, which ultimately led her to making the acquaintance of Frank Sheed and Maisie Ward. Sheed and Ward would become the largest publishers of Hauslander's books. Through her prolific articles and books, Hauslander gained tremendous popularity and acclaim, a status she would have never sought for herself. Always one to open her home and her heart to those in need, she was frequently overwhelmed physically, emotionally, and mentally by those who sought her for counsel and spiritual direction. Yet she remained reluctant, despite illness or exhaustion, to turn people away. She did on occasion seek refuge in the countryside, but she always found herself migrating back to London, invariably the place where she would be most beset by these callers. Monsignor Ronald Knox, a contemporary and an admirer of Hauslander, recognized her tremendous gift of insight. She seemed, quote, he said, to see everything for the first time, and the dreariest of doctrinal considerations shone out like a restored picture when she had finished with it. Her popularity and success in healing the hurts in the hearts of many became a form of work when Dr. Strauss, later president of the British Psychological Society, began to send patients to her for healing. Her gift? Quote, she loved them back to life, end quote, the doctor said. Hauslander seemed to possess a well that never ran dry for anyone but herself. She gave of her food to feed the hungry, her time to counsel those in need, her energy to write countless letters, articles, and books, and ultimately her health for the health and well-being of others. She spent years attending to the rigorous demands of her ailing parents, and having been plagued by ill health her entire life, had become accustomed to pain and slow to address her own physical ailments. Her lack of self-concern, however, which extended everything from her looks to her diet, her sleep, her health, her living quarters, etc., became her downfall when she was diagnosed with breast cancer, the same disease that had just taken her mother. During her last years, Hauslander worked tirelessly to complete books, write letters, strengthen the works of charity she had begun, and ministered to the many mentally ill children who were sent her way. She died on October 12, 1954, after a prolonged period of suffering. One of the books that I read of hers, and perhaps in certain circles, her best-known book, is The Read of God, a beautiful book about the Blessed Virgin Mary. She was quite gifted in writing. She was very human, though. When she would write to people who were suffering from neurosis, she would write things like this. I do know all about the terrible depression you speak of, as I suffer from it too, and have done so ever since I was 9 years old or so. Well, she writes, if you have this anxiety complex, I myself, it too, by the way. Or she writes, I am a frightened, abject creature because in youth I was broken right across psychologically, early and irrevocably. I also was for years a chain smoker, used actually to stay up most of the night as to go on smoking. I also took to starving myself as a very young child and later on as an adolescent. So she's not some alabaster saint that I'm holding up to you. Here's a woman that struggled with very, very many health, emotional, physical, psychological problems, and yet she weathered the storms in her life, and God used her very, very powerfully to help many mentally ill people. In some ways, she's a modern day, because St. Damphna is the longtime patron saint of people with mental illness, but she's a modern day patron saint of people with mental illness. She's worth learning more about, and I hope you'll take the opportunity to do so. Okay, here's today's food for thought. Written by Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Love cannot remain by itself. It has no meaning. Love has to be put into action, and that action is service. Amen to that? Amen to that. Now, who do I want you to pray for today? I want you to pray for, if you would, for bus drivers. These are the people, whether they long range over the whole country or if they do it locally within the state or the city, their jobs are important. Traffic is hard. Roads are congested. Road conditions are sometimes very, very poor. Would you please whisper a prayer today? In fact, do it with me right now. Let's pray for bus drivers. Dear God, bless the men and women who drive buses to get people safely to their destinations. Help them to stay awake. Don't let them fall asleep if they're on a real long, flat area. Help them to recognize danger early enough. Help them to be able to handle the traffic patiently. God, I ask you to bless all bus drivers. Amen. Small attempt to make you smile and laugh. A husband said to his wife, I think our son is planning on becoming an astronaut. The wife said, what makes you think so? The husband said, he spends every day sitting in a chair, staring into space. Want to contact me? Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Let me hear from you, okay? Send me your prayers. Send a gift to help me keep my hospital open. You make the check to TASH, T-A-S-H. Send it to Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. Joyful, joyful, Lord.